Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to another Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Today, my guest is Will Smith. If you like these podcasts and want to help us make more, you can make a small contribution at www.gofasterstripe.com/badges. You can make a one-off donation or a monthly donation. And there are new badges. You can be a one-off badger, a £1 monthly badger, a gold monthly badger, or a platinum monthly badger. Go and have a look. It's a lot of fun. You can be a badger. It's amazing. And all that money will go towards making future podcasts and hopefully mean we don't have to do Kickstarters anymore if enough people got involved. Anywho, let's get on with the show. It's coming up now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who went to school where art was taught by Rick Buckler's brother, though he personally was never taught art by Rick Buckler's brother. It was, I can't remember the name of the woman he taught. You know, shame, isn't it? It's Richard Herring! Thank you much kindly. Welcome to the show. God. Done too many of these, haven't I? So welcome. It's Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But I was down with Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I remember them, they were good, weren't they? And the lead singer on there, he had a t-shirt saying Frankie Says A.I. Ottima. So I don't know if that's A.I. Ottima, Rahul Estepa. I've got confused. That's it. He's not that cool, is he? If he doesn't even know the right one. So that's not a good sign. Fucking hell. I'm really worried my brain. Last week when I was ill, 2 weeks ago now, I was ill. And I genuinely thought, you know, this is it. I've got Alzheimer's disease. Because it was one of those things you just can't remember, like, your own name. Can you remember your own name? No, fuck. There you go. That's terrible. And so we've got a lovely audience here. We've got a lady down in the front who I was talking to just before. And she teaches drama. I want to find out more about her. So we're going to do that now. I'm taping you on my phone. So you've got a lovely scarf on. Are you cold?
No, I'm from Canada. I'm rarely cold.
You're from Canada. You're rarely cold. So why is the scarf just a flamboyant gesture of...
If I get upset, then I like to flick it.
You know? Oh, do you? Okay, that's nice. What's your name?
Sarah,
hello. And are you over from Canada? Oh, my finger's in the way. Are you over from Canada permanently or just...
Yeah.
You'll be we're sending you back. And that's it. Canada's kind of one of the all right ones.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, no, in terms of racism. But... You still have the queen, right?
Well, she's on our money. And
yeah.
Stamps and...
Yeah, so you have the queen then, if she's on your money and stamps and is in charge. And you have to do what she says. It's good, isn't she? Do you like the queen? I think old Prince William was over there, wasn't he?
Yep.
Recently with the little babies and stuff. Did you go back home to see him there? Were people in Canada very excited? Your Prime Minister's quite good, isn't he? He's socialist, but he's quite good. Yeah, yeah. Good. Would you have sex with him if he commanded you to do so with his right of I am the Prime Minister and have, therefore can have sex with any Canadian person?
Well, he's married, so no.
Oh. He has commanded you to do it. And he is the Prime Minister. Would you do it now? Wow, okay, that's a very, the only moral Canadian. We found them. We found that. I'm good, you passed the test. Also, your husband rang me up before the show and said, could you find out if my wife would cheat with Trudeau? So are you married?
No.
No, okay. Well, you know, now you've been on this podcast. You know, if anyone's interested, leave your email. We'll sort that out for you. It's like, you know, I'm trying to branch out, get sort of blind date aspect. But, I mean, imagine the terrible, tragic men who will be watching this. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can really subject you to that. So, you're having a chat. What was the chat about?
She said it's good for crowdfunding.
It's good for crowdfunding. Okay, yeah, that's good. So, don't understand what that means. Are you a prostitute who uses crowdfunding? No. It's good for crowdfunding. It's a good idea. We could set that up if you're into it. I know it's. Okay, right, time to move on. So, will you please welcome. Oh, no, first of all, I've got to insult someone who's paid me money. Imagine paying money to be insulted by me. I'll do you for nothing, mate. I tell you, that is. I'm just going to show the people at home what an easy target is. And then, hold on, wait, I hope I was recording there with Sarah. It was Sarah, wasn't it? Yeah, good. I haven't lost it. That's what I could be insulting, but how much would you be prepared to give me to insult you?
Not my spare beer.
Spare beer?
Yeah.
Tasty, I won't do it. It's Paul Hewitt I've got to. Hello, Paul Hewitt. Thank you for contributing. I don't call you Paul Hewitt. I call you Paul U Twit. Just letting that settle, because I don't think everyone got it, so I'm just letting that drift through. You're about the same as last week's audience, I have to say. Not that good. So try and pick, because Twit Hewitt, you Twit, is a pun. Fucking hell. I call you Appalling U Twit. Paul Hewitt. No, sorry, I over-egged it, Andy. I did too much. It was good. Less is more. Okay, I've gone insane. So will you please welcome our next guest? He's probably best known as playing Piers in Time, Gentlemen, Please. Also playing Piers in the short film Womble. It's quite unusual for a man to play two characters called Piers. And we're going to find out why. Will you please welcome Will Smith, ladies and gentlemen? It's Will Smith. Piers. He plays two people called Piers. Hello. Welcome. Come on in.
Oh, I'd totally forgotten that it was in your sitcom.
Yeah, I had until I saw you on my IMDb.
Do you remember what my character's job was? He was an expert in shit.
You were in the archaeology stuff.
Yeah, he was an expert in shit.
Yeah, oh, that's right. He was a
not coprophiliac.
He was a
that's in my personal life.
Coprolite analyst. That's what they're called.
Yeah. Fossilized shit.
Yes.
Was. Thanks.
That's all right. It's called Piers. Do you think that says something about you, that you've been cast twice as someone called Piers?
I think I inhabited the role so completely that they obviously, when it came to Womble, they thought we have to stick with the name because he'll give of his best.
What was Womble about?
It was a short film, and I think I was a teacher taking revenge on Ben Wilbond. I was now a teacher, and I was interviewing him for a job, and we'd been at school together, and he'd... like locked me in a cupboard and pulled my pants down because I had an odd-shaped penis.
Okay.
as I remember, and I was cast because of my odd-shaped penis.
That's good.
I mean, it's really no one else could have played it actually. and then I took revenge on him and locked him in a cupboard and humiliated him.
I must track it down. Yeah, why is it called Womble?
I think that was my nickname because I had one
of your
ball.
Penis. One ball.
One ball. And I think that would
be better if your penis had looked like Orinoco.
It might have looked like a womble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be better if your penis had been Orinoco.
Yeah.
And that.
Black nose tip.
Yeah.
Collected rubbish.
And it was in the Wombles.
Yeah.
It was the only one that wasn't stop frame animated.
It was just, penis.
You were under the table.
Yeah.
And that was the revelation.
That it would have to be prehensile for it to be able to sort of move.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably. I think that's the
least problem with this idea.
Yeah. I think you'd have to. Yeah. There'd be a lot of conversation with the BBC I know it looks like a penis, but no one else is seeing that, actually. No, it's you pervert.
It was
nice. Clearly a womble.
Nice.
It's not a.
Yeah. Oh, good. Look, your life has changed quite a lot. You're an amazing stand up comedian, and you're not doing stand up.
No, I'm not doing it.
Are you going to come back to doing stand up?
I don't think so. I just sort of took a sabbatical that hasn't ended because I was just busy doing other stuff and it was sort of crowding it out really and the other stuff was sort of bigger really than
cool. So you're now doing lots of writing
and acting when it comes along. Yeah. Because up to that, because I don't think I've seen you since Banter.
No, we were in Banter together, which
you remember, guys.
Radio 4's Banter was already a 2.
I can't remember how long ago it was.
It was a good show. You know, Banter was like a rule. It nearly went to TV called Rule of Three. It was about lists, and there's been loads of shows.
Sorry,
it
went to TV.
It nearly went to TV.
Thanks. Jesus.
But like I came up with a name for it, but I wasn't going to be in the TV.
Oh, did they do that thing where they go, "We love the show, we want to transfer it." Obviously not with you fuckers.
Rebecca Front was hosting it, and Chris Addison was one of the team leads, I think.
And it's great to know that I wasn't even considered.
Yeah, I think I
because you were on every episode of Banter,
and
I thought I did half.
Yes,
and then how many
Russell Howard did it, and
who?
Yeah. Just people who've just gone
just
nowhere.
Vanished. look at us.
It was good. It was a good panel show on Radio 4. Come on!
I can't remember the premise other than...
It was saying something and you had to
do your
top three list of each thing. That's basically what it was. Which has happened like a lot of times as panel shows. A lot of people have come up with that idea.
Yeah. And why didn't it go to TV in the end?
I think... because it was shit.
Okay.
Because we weren't in it. That's
why
it was like. But that happens all the time. I did another one called Bad Language, which was a Radio Scotland and Radio Northern Ireland. They came together to fund it, and then that went to TV. And I think Patrick Kilty was me, and I was the host. I hosted. So, you know, I can get the radio. I just can't make that leap.
You can't get radio now. You're doing this online.
I know. Yes. I'm not going to complain like all the other white middle class men. What I do is I say, hey, all white middle class men who can't get on, come here.
Come here to the ghetto.
That's what you can
do. It's brutal for us.
What I remember from Banter was your obsession with your twin obsessions, really. Marillion, which you did a stand-up show about.
Yeah. Why are you laughing?
People over there. And Bergerac.
Yeah.
And you from that you lived on you were
I
born
grew up,
in Jersey
I grew up,
you grew up,
in, grew up
Jersey.
In Jersey yeah
and can you still do the thing of the 6 degrees of Bergerac?
It's not like I've been doing it every day since
so someone can mention any film to you or actor.
It used to be live I would do this thing because I would talk about my obsession with the show and how it's the greatest regional detective show ever, of course. Don't know why I need to say that. And then I would link any film that the audience named to a specific episode of Bergerac in 6 moves or less.
Yeah.
And then I would just collect women's phone numbers.
So can you connect the Adam Sandler film The Cobbler, which I like? All the people who are in Adam Sandler films are in it, if that helps. Do you know it?
Sorry, shush.
Okay.
Adam Sandler is in Punch Drunk Love with Emily Watson, who's in Breaking the Waves with Stellan Skarsgård, who is in Ronin with Natasha McElhone, who is in episode 79 Snow in Provence. Yeah. Still got it.
Wow.
That's terrifying. Still there, the neural pathways doesn't go. Yeah, I don't know The Cobbler. What's The Cobbler?
Is it
generally worth watching or not? Is it a bad?
Well, is any Adam Sandler film since Punch Drunk Love worth watching? Is the answer. Everyone is that. It's. I have talked about it on here before. It's about Adam Sandler who is playing a cobbler. which is a dangerous start. And his dad was also a cobbler. And his dad leaves him a piece of cobbling table.
It's not magic, is it?
That is magic. And that when you make shoes on it, when you mend shoes on it, you then wear the shoes if they fit you, if they happen to be the
That's
same
like
size.
That's like a normal cobbler, isn't it? You make shoes and if they fit, you buy them.
Then you turn into the person who at last had those shoes.
So they're second-hand shoes?
Well, they're being repaired on this, so people to have their shoes repaired. And then Adam Sandler could put on the shoes, provided they had the same size 10 feet as he did.
So this is like they saw Click and they went, like that, but with shoes.
Yeah.
And what year was it?
It's quite recent, I think. I think it's probably the last 2 years.
With Netflix?
Yeah, I think it's probably a Netflix original. It might not be a Netflix original, but it's certainly around that time. But someone was telling me, Greg Jenner, who I want to get on the show, who's an amazing historian, and is also obsessed with Adam Sandler and how bad his films are, tells me that in Netflix, he's one of the highest viewed things on Netflix. So it's worth...
What, that film? Or
all of the Adam Sandler stuff is all in the top. If you go look at the top of the charts, they're all the Adam Sandler. They've got the ridiculous six or something.
I know, it's like he's massive, like in Russia, and stuff like that. It's
just, so it works. It works for them. So that's why he keeps on being given money to make these terrible films.
But I just can't imagine being in the situation where the pitch that you've just told me is the best idea for your next film. That trumps everything else you could possibly do.
I think what appealed to Adam Sandler about the film was that he didn't have to do quite a lot of it. Because once he puts on the shoes,
someone else.
Someone else has to be. And I think he looked at it and went, oh yeah, I'll do that for £1 million. More than that, because I won't have to do much actual acting.
He is meant to be a lovely guy.
Well,
just to...
Good.
Anyway.
We'll come back to... We'll chuck in a few 6 degrees of Bergerac throughout the... It was very impressive. I mean, it might have been nonsense. Who knows?
What?
You did a stand-up show about Marillion.
Yeah, about being obsessed with Marillion.
Do people know who Marillion are? Because it's quite a cool kids reference.
They were like the Sex Pistols of the 80s.
Yeah.
They had a lead singer, Beatles of the 90s.
They had a lead singer called Fish.
Fish, yeah.
Who left...
He left in 1988 after the fourth album, Clutching at Straws, and has gone on to a fantastic solo career. And they got a new lead singer, Steve Hogarth.
Do you prefer Fish on his own to Steve Hogarth Marillion?
I like them both equally, but I have a huge loyalty to Fish because, if I had to choose.
Did you meet Fish for this show?
I met Fish. I filmed little videos for the show. Mm-hmm. So I went to stay at his house. And we got the artwork from the albums on the wall. We filmed me being like an overexcited geek, but it wasn't a stretch. oh my god, you got it! So just such a fan.
He let you stay in his house.
Stay in his house. Yeah. I actually sent a text to a friend saying I'm having a poo on Fish's toilet, and then we became friends, and then he came to my wedding. I know.
Was he your best man?
Regrets now. But we've become really good friends, and I go to the gigs, and it's just, but it is that I know it's kind of funny, but it's a genuine smile, because for me it is like if my 15-year-old self knew that I was going to become friends with he's my David Bowie. So fuck you. So I was really excited.
That's cool. And what was the appeal of Bergerac? That
it's the greatest television show ever made.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That aside, was it just growing up in Jersey?
It was growing up in Jersey, I rewatched them with my writing partner, like when they were sort of doing reruns in, I can't remember, the sort of early noughties or whatever, and we just noticed how many guest stars they had. And then I was like, oh, you could probably do the 6 degrees thing. And then that became a thing that I became obsessed with proving, that you can bring all Western art back to... But we're not back to it. It's the pinnacle, so it connects up.
If you'd made that more successful, it might have been John Nettles in those adverts that Kevin Bacon does. Yeah. But now that would be might be John Nettles humiliating himself. They got worse. Those Kevin Bacon.
I can't watch those. Does he know what they are? It looks like you get one take and just to make sure.
What I don't understand is Kevin Bacon is like in everything. That's why that 6 degrees of. So why does he need the money from whoever, Vodafone or whoever it is?
To do
really bad. The latest one.
No, you don't get money from being able to be linked.
No, but he gets the money from being in the Vodafone adverts.
Oh, yeah.
So why? But why does he need to go in the Vodafone if he did get money from every time he was
linked?
Just five.
That'd be great.
5p every time someone does it.
Yeah, he could take it to the dragon. Baffle them.
But there's that. There's the one he does with Britney Spears. Have you seen that? I mean, that's the lowest. I mean,
I haven't seen that one.
Oh,
what happens?
God, I mean, I can't even bring myself to tell them remember it. I don't really want to rewind.
Is he still singing "Bringing Home the Bacon"? And
no, he's like, what happens at the end? She's there. He does an impression of. It's about being able to get any music on your phone, isn't it? And then so he's dressed as Britney Spears.
Oh fuck! Really?
In the red thing, and then the real Britney Spears is there at the end.
Can we do a Kickstarter so he doesn't have to do it? It's just, like, painful.
What's gone wrong with him that he needs the money that badly?
I think they spend at the level they get used to, and then if it drops, because I think that about a lot of people, a lot of the yeah. celebrities, you think you must have bought a house, just you know, do a paper round or something.
If you've done like one or two,
beg, if you have more dignity, if you begged.
What happens to people when they have? You know, that's why I don't see they're getting. I don't know how much Kevin Bacon ever got as a top, but he must have got like $1 million a film.
Yeah.
And so he did 100 films.
Yeah, you think?
And he had $100 million.
Yeah.
How can you spend that much money?
Well, they end up with half because you know the agencies are higher over there. You've got managers,
now
lawyers.
Now you put it like that.
I'm not saying oh god, they don't end up with the money. I'm saying you know that. But if they're spending like a maniac and buying houses,
you have to have all your entourage.
Yeah, it's all that crap that they
keep them going.
Whereas I would just not do any of that and just
I'd do one film.
Yeah.
If I was Adam Sandler, I'd do one film and
that's
go,
it.
Thanks.
And just invest it.
And then, or just, you know, buy a house, buy a table and four chairs and a bed, buy like a load of tins of baked
beans. Sounds like a shelter or a bunker. Just wait for the apocalypse.
If you spend £100,000 on baked beans, I reckon, if you bought them in bulk, you get a really good
for the rest. So you get a discount.
I'd reckon
so you don't
need
any food for the rest of your life.
Exactly. I reckon you
But what are the sell-by tapes on beans? You're looking at
nothing.
4 years ahead.
No, they go forever.
No, it's 4 years. It's not like... You could live for another 50 years.
They'll be fine. I could ring up Heinz and go, I'd like to buy... I want to spend £100,000 on baby
beans.
But can you deliver them in five year shifts?
It's Richard Herring from The Cobbler 2. Come on. I'm not doing any more films.
You would need to build a massive storeroom to keep all the babies in. You can see why the money starts to go. You have to have a guard.
I've got one.
You have to have 24-hour security.
Oh, because people have come for the beans. I've got one simple question. Are there any windows in this dwelling?
They'll not have a house.
Made of tins of beans.
They don't have a massive... Bean store.
Or just have it in a silo with a tap at the bottom, like a hamster feeding.
Yeah, so
you just put your mouth under that.
Then you need a tin opener.
It's heaven. You could put the beans through like a smoothie maker and just drink them. It'd be just have them intravenously fed.
So I need a silo. Yes, someone I'd employ to check levels.
That's an extra expense. You're talking about one film. I mean, I don't know if you. I mean,
well, that's why.
How much are you going to pay a person?
I think that's
a year?
Why it happens is that people think I've got it sorted out. I've got the baked bean silo.
But you can't afford to pay for the guy looking after the bean silo.
Yeah,
so that's why you're doing the
security at the top to make sure if a kid fell into that.
It's got a lid, hasn't it?
Yeah, but...
And not a ladder up the side, so... Well, no, you need a lid
ladder
to
for the
hand
to get them in.
Oh, sorry.
You need to pay for a crane to get the beans in there. Go, all right, I'll do the cobbler 3, but then that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it might, on reflection, be simple to just simply keep working and buying food as you need it. I'm just saying it's an option. You don't have to trade in future beans and...
I'm saving money, aren't I, with my baked beans? My baked beans silo, crane, security guard thing. Oh, God. Right. I'm going to ask you. We'll get on to your serious work soon. If you had to go to a desert island, is this called Desert Island Dicks? If you had to go to a desert island and you could choose 8 Richards to go with you on the island, which 8 Richards would you choose on the island? I go, I'm there already.
Okay, right, great. Okay.
To save you the embarrassment of not choosing.
Richard Keel.
Mm.
Is it living or alive or
Jaws,
dead?
Jaws, Richard Keel Jaws.
Yeah.
No one's chosen him, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Alive or dead?
Alive or dead.
But they have to be called Richard. At yeah. least in, you know, Dick, Rick is fine.
Yeah. I'm now just thinking of, you know, I don't want to then name, I'm thinking of Richards, I'm naming them, but I don't want them, and then yeah. it looks rude if I say, so I can't think of any famous Richards.
It's a difficult question.
Is that why you picked it?
Yeah. Why not? I just came up
because I'm thinking, like, I don't know, King Richards 1, 2, and 3, but at least one of them was an asshole, so I don't want him.
Yeah, but which one was the asshole?
The hunch one who murdered the kids. Well. So, you know, but I could, what? Like, well, I,
kids are annoying though, right? So,
yeah, and also he got to be king.
He did.
Yeah, so not them. So okay. It's just
the moment, so far Richard Keel and me.
And you. That yeah. is a really low rent episode of Heston's Feast, isn't it? you, me, Richard Keel.
Must be other Richards.
Dawkins. Like. Oh yeah. Christ. He just have opinions.
He would. He does have opinions.
Yeah, it's a theory, Richard. But I just believe. There must be more famous.
There are. I'm going to sit here until you come
out. Until you're going to make me sweat.
Yeah.
Richard Harris! Sorry, I got excited because I'm a big fan of the film The Wild Geese.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Rafer Jarndyce, he's alive.
Can you link Wild Geese to Bergerac?
Yeah, of course I can. Episode 29, House Guest has Patrick Allen, and episode 30, no, yes, episode 30, The Last Interview has Barry Foster, both in The Wild Geese, so it's one step. Don't waste my motherfucking time. okay, so Richard Keel, Richard Harris.
Yeah. I can't just keep saying the ones you've got already.
I know, no, but I'm then thinking they'll then prompt, I'll think of other famous. Richard Burton! Another member of the Wild Geese. Can I reassemble the Wild Geese? No, it's Roger Moore, Hardy Kruger. No. Okay, yeah, Richard Burton, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because there'd be no drink there, so you'd get the proper. You don't want the drunk one.
No. You might be able to make drink out of something, the coconut.
Yeah, or potatoes you can make you know, kind of moonshine.
Probably be able to fashion a sort of silo. If you just put coconuts in a silo and left it long enough, that'd be
baked bean whiskey. Yeah, I'm sure you could do it. But then Richard Burton, actually, he might be a really grouchy if he's not got the drink, so it might be.
Yeah.
Like, how long are we there for? Do we sort of.
Forever, permanently.
Forever. Yeah. It's not like a kind of. You don't have to fight to the death and one of us gets in a boat at the end. It's not.
We could do that as well.
Okay, Richard Keel's out. I could take the others, I could take.
Yeah.
No, I've got Richard Keel with that. So Keel, Burton, Harris.
There must be eight people called Richard just in Bergerac. Is there anyone called Richard in Marillion?
No.
Dick Fish?
He's Derek William Dick is his real name.
There
you
can go,
I have him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. I don't need anyone else.
Good. I'll ask another question. This is one of my new emergency questions. I like this. What is the most impressive celebrity that ever came to your school as a guest of your school?
John Nettles. Of course.
Really.
He opened the 1989 school fete.
Did he?
Why do you ask?
That's good.
Tim Taylor as well.
What's so the least impressive celebrity that ever came to your school?
I remember, Keith Chegwin came to the Royal Square. We had Swap Shop Live. They came for a broadcast. And Ted Heath. We went to hear him do a talk at another.
No wonder
school.
He turned up in Jersey.
Yes.
Hey. To ask the Canadian. A little bit lost in this episode, I'm guessing. Bergerac, Marillion. Do you have Marillion in Canada?
Yeah, they do Marillion weekends in Montreal.
Yeah, believe me, no one in England knows who they are either, don't worry. It's quite a specific, specific.
No, it's not. They recorded Reel to Reel, the live album in Toronto. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Did any future celebrities other than yourself, Will, go to your school?
John Henry Fall, who's a comedian, does Story Beast.
Okay.
He was a few years below me. Kenneth Moore was older, the actor.
He wasn't in the same year as you, though, Kenneth.
No, I just said that in case you didn't know.
Okay.
You know, he might be. He's not that obscure at all, is he?
Kenneth Moore's good.
Yeah. I think that's it. Oh, well, there's. I don't know whether he was there for a while, because he pissed me off. Henry Cavill, who's Superman. I don't think he went to my school. I think he went to. Like one of the local prep schools, and then he went to sort of boarding school
over here. There can't be that many schools in Jersey, can there?
Yeah, it's about 5 or 6, so he could have gone to one. Well, I don't mind. It's just up to, there was a little window where I was like the most well-known person from Jersey, and then that fucker had to be Superman. So, you know, but I didn't get the audition. If I had, different story.
It's true.
Yeah.
Did the siblings of any celebrities teach at your school?
Okay, walk me through that again. The siblings.
Were any of the teachers at your school siblings of someone who was famous?
No.
Tom Nell's sister teaching your school.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bob Dylan's sister taught art. No, no, not as far as I know.
Have you found failing.
Any, has anyone had...
Me?
No, no, has any, have you got any answers to that? Where they haven't had a
well,
sibling.
You're only the second person I've asked.
Okay, and what the first person answered?
I can't remember what Dame Baptiste said.
Did he have a celebrity?
It was last week, wasn't it? It's a long time ago. I don't think he had him when I had one. I was very excited. Rick Buckler's brother.
Who?
Rick Buckler from The Jam. Oh, come on, man.
Oh, yeah,
like Marillion.
Yeah.
Fucking Rick Buckler from The Jam. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Jersey, because your new your book.
Yes.
You've written a kind of Bergerac novel.
It's not Bergerac fanfic.
It's about Jersey.
It's set on Jersey. Yeah. In
the 80s.
The 80s, yeah. And I quote a Marillion lyric at the end.
Oh, that's given up. I haven't got to the end yet. Yeah. Don't give that away. As if I would notice. So, I mean, it seems quite... I've only just started reading
it. Yeah, no, it's
fine. We're
going
to talk about it in a future episode because Will is sponsored as a product placement for his book in a future episode. And so page on Kickstarter. And it's quite nice because it more or less is the same as his fee for being on the show.
Yeah,
and I was quite tempted just to product placement it in this now and say that's your product placement. I won't. I'm going to put it in another one as well.
Yeah.
Okay, but so I started reading it, and I will read it by the time it's product placed.
Yeah.
But it's and I can't. I've just with kids. Can you read?
No.
I've
can't,
just
yeah,
stopped
yeah,
reading
yeah.
books completely.
Yeah. I went on a holiday when my wife was pregnant with my first child. Went on a 2-week holiday. I think I read like 9 books or something insane, just lying on a beach. And then in the last sort of 7 years, I think I've read 4. It's just, you know, you just don't get the time as much.
So it's about that kind of small island mentality.
Yeah, it's called Mainlander, so it's about somebody who's not from there and feeling kind of shut out from it.
And is it someone goes missing? A kid?
Yeah.
And then they call in a detective. It's called Bim Jerjerak.
It's called Bim Jerjerak. And it's got a cigar-chomping father-in-law.
It is, but Jersey, like, is a weird place, right?
It's different. It's
different and therefore weird.
Therefore weird.
It's different in quite a weird way.
What, you fear difference?
I don't. I enjoy difference, but
no,
not the Jersey.
It's got its own feel. I mean, it's got the French influence, and it's sort of part of the UK, but not. It has its own kind of government and own currency. It's pounds, but it's Jersey pounds, so it feels. And they're very kind of. They're very proud of their kind of independent heritage, sort of thing. So it does. Is you're looking at me? I know.
I'm trying to think of a joke about the Nazis.
Yeah, no, I know. and they were occupied by the Nazis. But it is like, you know, it's this strange place where you have these kind of like, you know, medieval castles and then kind of German fortifications.
Yes.
So it's a strange kind of
because in the book it talks about the fact that someone. There's nowhere to get lost on the ship.
Somebody's driving around, they realise they're just trying to find a road they haven't driven down before, and they can't find one.
Yeah.
And they find one, they're really excited, and then they realise, oh no, I have been down this one. Yeah, but it did feel like that. I definitely felt like that towards the end of when I was living there, before I went off to university and stuff. And then now I kind of, I love going back there now.
No, it's Andrew Collins used to holiday there as a teenager.
Yeah.
That's my favourite Jersey fact. what's interesting that you've got into writing. So you've been. Was it the thick of it, or were you writing things before the thick of it?
I was writing books.
Just writing scripts and books.
Right. Well, I always wanted to write. I always kind of wanted to do all of it, really. And then like when I was at school, I was kind of doing kind of magazines and sketch shows, and then I was making films on the holidays with friends, and then. They weren't around when I went to university, and so I started doing stand-up, and then I was also, because like Ben Elton had done stand-up to get into writing, so it was kind of part of that. So it was never like just stand-up, it was always, that was slightly a means to an end, and then also something I really loved and sort of grew, but it was always kind of writing. I just wanted to do kind of all of it, really, but at the same time I was kind of trying to write sort of novels as well, so I was kind of That was definitely an
because it's a proper novel. You've written a book. Yeah. You wrote a book about the joy.
I wrote
of
the
not
joy of
sex.
No sex, yeah. And did How to Be Cool, which kind of like comedy books that no one bought. And and then I was trying to. And so I'd kind of written four other sort of novels, and they're probably more novella in length, really, looking back. But other books before Mainlander, but they were trying to be kind of, or two of them were trying to be comic, and it was just as I was giving in. The latest version of one of the comic ones, and I kind of thought my agent wouldn't go for it, and I started writing the Mainlander, and just it felt like a different kind of tone and wasn't being funny. It was just interesting to, it's like taking away a crutch. It's like, because, you know, I hopefully I can write sort of comic dialogue and stuff like that. So it's trying to write serious dialogue and really think about the characters and the story without resorting to jokes. It's not that you're propping up stuff with jokes, but you know what I mean. It was just be on the story.
Yeah, it's like a proper book.
That's what I've tried to do.
With proper writing and like just similes and stuff in it, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like characters.
That's how you know.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
Chapters.
You must buy it. When our product placement, you're not going to believe how. I'm not going to do it now. But it's while he's here. But no, it's really good. But you sort of got into, you know, I know you're acting, but it became, you've stopped doing stand-up. So when did you stop? When was your last stand-up?
I can't actually remember. So it wasn't like a significant, kind of, this is the last thing, I'm walking away from it. It's just when the kids came along, by the time we had a second child, and then with sort of writing, thick of it, and VP, it was kind of like, it's like you do. It's kind of writing like a day job. And, you know, so it's like doing office hours, and then going out and doing kind of Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, five gigs on a Saturday night, not getting to sleep till 3 or 4 in the morning, and then the kids being up at 7 was just something I had to give. So I was like, okay, I'll step back from stand up because I'm not going to say to Armando, I can't do the next season of Veep because I've got some stand up gigs booked on the circuit. It was not like a tour, it was like,
So that's, it's incredible what's happened.
It's cash, Armando, you understand.
It's incredible what's happened. So obviously you were in the thick of it and you wrote, were you writing for the thick of it and then you were cast in the thick of it?
Yeah, no, he asked me to write on it, to write on the second series, and then there was a hiatus due to a problem with a cast member. You've never commented on that. during that period, he decided to do the kind of the specials, which was like holding episodes to kind of let that situation resolve. And then I was cast then, but I had to audition. So it would have been bad if I hadn't got it because they kind of wrote the character like when they were describing it. They sort of went out, it's a bit like Will, which is actually quite insulting. So I auditioned for a character that was quite like me and had a very similar name.
Yeah.
A lazily named name, Phil Smith. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's right. And then we went on to Veep.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of you at the Emmys and you won the Emmys again.
Yeah, it got Best Comedy Show.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does that feel to be? I know you were excited to be in Fish's house, but how was it? It obviously is not going to come up to
Richard,
that level.
Yeah. Richard, when you've been to the moon.
But that must be just a mindfuck to be at the Emmys and then you've already won one anyway.
It is that kind of, you're sort of sitting there going, oh, look, it's Jerry Seinfeld talking to Chris Rock and Jimmy Fallon. There's that side of it. And then, so Larry David gave us our award. So sort of 2 feet from Larry David going,
yeah.
And then the Game of Thrones people won after us. So they sort of came backstage for photos and stuff as we were finishing. And Kit Harington replaced Jon Snow. Just spoke to me. It was really friendly and really nice. I think he's a Thick of It fan, so it was, so stuff like that, but you go, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And do you go over, are you in America a lot writing, or do you write it here?
The last series, because they moved it, it was filming in Baltimore and for the first 4 seasons, and then Armando left to kind of go off and do films and not have to commute to America all the time. And then so it moved to the West Coast, to Los Angeles for the last series. So I was going over for like about a week a month for the last half of the last year. But then this series, I think I'm just going to be writing stuff from here, just doing punch-ups on the script. Because that's quite a lot commuting to Los Angeles.
Well, I think Armando obviously felt I find it difficult going to, Sheffield and having to not come home. So it must be weird if you're that far away.
It took its toll, I think. And also, there's no kind of breathing space for it, really, for him. So you'd like, because he is across everything, so he's kind of like, he's across the writing, and then he's sort of either directing it or he's on set, and then he's in the edit. And so you start sort of, it goes out in April, and then you have to stop writing it in May. So he basically gets like 3 weeks off a year, and then he's into it again. And it's just, there's no chance to do any other stuff. So And I think he just felt he'd done it enough. I presume that's what he said. I don't want to speak for him, honestly.
He said he didn't like you.
Yeah, that's what he said.
He said, have you got Will? Yes, the Americans are like, it's you or Will Smith. He went into the meeting, he said, it's me or Will Smith. And they said, we'll keep Will Smith.
Okay, go home.
Thanks for your work. And actually, you co-created Time Trumpet with...
He created it, but we wrote a lot of it. Me and Roger Drew. Right. I loved that.
Because that was sort of a little hidden gem that people have.
I think people who saw it really, really loved it. And I'm so proud of that show. Yeah. It was such fun to do because we'd been sort of around for a while, me and Roger writing, and we'd written on late night chat show type things that perhaps weren't the most rewarding. A creative experience.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we're like writing stuff for Armando, and he's just, rather than stuff being mangled and ruined, he's just sort of printing it out and giving it to actors, and you're going, my stuff is being said and used. And so it was just like a revelation and just changed everything. It was amazing.
Terrific. And I didn't see this, but I've been reading your Wikipedia page.
I haven't, so God knows.
Okay. Well, no, it's not too bad. But you wrote a column for Intelligent Life.
Yes.
Where you did different things you hadn't done.
Yeah, yeah. They had to give me a different task each.
So what? So the things they mentioned, like playing the banjo.
Yeah.
That
was actually the first one. The ones I did a bit of that, and it's not like I've taken out. But the one I loved, Human Statue.
Like the guys down at the South Bank.
Yeah.
You did that.
I did that. Yeah,
were you trained especially?
Well, there was a guy who does it. It wasn't like I just turned up with some face paint and, so there's a sort of costume that's already slightly silver, and then you do your sort of hands and wrist and face and stuff. But it was great, because it's like meditation. You have time to yourself. It's like, I turned my phone off, no one's talking to me. It was heaven. Yeah.
Did anyone give you money?
Yeah. I mean, that was the best. Of course. And that was quite, it was just...
Would you go back to it?
If everything goes wrong, I've got that. I know I've got that there that I can... That would be quite an awkward thing to explain if in 5 years you walk past and like, Will? And I wouldn't answer because I'd be a human statue. But knowing you, you'd stay there and wait till nightfall. And then check, and I'm doing it for an article. But you already did an article. Yeah, no, I'm doing it for a blog, got to do it for longer.
Well,
it's just your job now. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
The best ones, but there's some Shreks on Westminster Bridge, they're the best. You should do that. Yeah.
It's a bit.
They move, so they're better than the.
You move as a statue, but the kids come up, you just.
Yeah, I know, but they move all the time, which is better. That's more.
But that's not a skill. People can move.
It is. They dress up as a Shrek, and then they kind of slightly control people into getting photos of them.
When you say dress up, is it a mask or are they face paint?
They put on a rudimentary costume.
So it's
and
really
then people get their photo taken with them, and then the Shreks will say, "Give me some money!" And people go, "Oh, okay.
Okay.
The Shreks of Westminster Bridge. I want to write a children's book about them." The problem is that Shrek is already a character. I think I'd get into copyright issues.
Yeah.
But they're horrible Shreks.
Have you
Who's the real ogre? That is the question. Is it the Shrek or is it a man dressed as a Shrek?
In order to
get money to get on
maybe,
a bridge.
Maybe underneath the mask it's the Bacon Brothers.
It could be.
Working. They formed a band as well. Have you got the Fabulous Bacon Brothers?
I haven't.
No, I am. I'm just fascinated by actors who form bands, and I like to have a mental list. It's quite short of actors who I definitely know. I definitely suspect, 95% certain that you've definitely got a band.
Right,
Gerard Butler. Yeah, definitely got a grunge band, hasn't he? Orlando Bloom definitely done a lo-fi kind of woodsheddy album that he's not. He might just put it online under a pseudonym. He probably has.
Yeah,
but emergency question.
I'm right there. I'm just checking. Oh, you supported Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, on a politics tour. I filled in when Robin Ince was too broken by the experience.
Yeah,
when he was, suffering from PTSD, then I would. I'd step. I did about, I can't remember, 12 dates or something like that, which is
good. Were those massive venues, presumably?
Yeah, I think the biggest was the Manchester Arena, which I don't think we did the whole of it. I think I think it was curtained, not because it couldn't sell, but just because I think he wanted to sort of have a ceiling on the number. So I think it was about 6,000 or something. Right. So that was, it was great. I loved doing those gigs.
And it's a difficult job being a support act for someone that people have come to see.
Yes.
Did you find they were always
really lovely actually, but it was, that is the thing that's going through your head the first time, it's like, why the fuck are they going to listen to me, and he always gave a nice intro, and so they were kind of up for it, and once you're up there, it's good. Because my act was always quite theatrical, sort of not quite a character, but not quite a kind of, not like an interactive stand-up. So it kind of suited that kind of venue, yeah. I think.
And did you ever think about, before I get on to an emergency question,
yeah,
not calling myself Will Smith?
No, because I started and I sort of, you know, I started doing stand-up in 93 in London, yeah. And, you know, he was the Fresh Prince in the mid-90s, right. But nobody knew him by that name. And by then, I'm an idiot. I just thought, you know, oh, I've kind of, sort of established on the circuit now, which so he can change his fucking name. And, I see it first, and it's my name. You try getting a bookie at the store. Yeah, it's not going to happen, mate. No, we've got one.
Yeah. No. Do you think you've had many people come to see you thinking you're the other one? And vice versa?
It's a nightmare for him, I know that. When people are just yelling, you know, sitting there going, "Where Eagles Dare? To Bergerac, you fucking idiot." What? I still got people on Twitter who clearly... That even though my face is on,
yeah,
but anyway, but I remember when I was this shows how low the show had sunk at the time. I was a guest on the Jack Doherty show shortly after having been a writer on the show,
yes.
On Channel 5, and it wasn't easy to get audiences at the best of times, I don't think. And then they were sort of busting people in who, you know, from the blind date overflow or whatever. So then, but I was on. I did. My Rog was at the back. All the other writers, and heard someone sort of remonstrating with the person at the door saying, "You fucking tell me it's fucking Will Smith. That's not fucking Will Smith. Look at him. It's not fucking Will. Look at him. Look at him." So once there was a very angry man from Essex who came to see Jack Doherty.
Just one time.
And that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, how about this? What is the worst thing you've ever tried to squeeze down the drain of a shower?
Oh, a human eyeball. No, it's normally picking stuff out.
Like, it is, you know, do that, but you know, sometimes...
I know where you're going.
Okay.
But I've had accidents, but yeah. Not in the show.
It's tricky, is what I'm going to say. It's tricky.
Do you use the heel or do you get another implement? Why don't you just pick it out and flush it?
No.
If it is in there.
What if it's... I would imagine if that were to happen to someone...
Yeah.
If they're in a hypothetical situation, that they might have quite liquidy...
Well, then you just hose it, so it's not...
It's harder than you think. Even... Well, diarrhea is less, you know, it's chunkier than you think. That could be the title of this week's episode.
Because it's already semi-liquid. So
well, it
I'm
is,
talking
but
about
it's
a
semi.
Solid, it's a solid. And is it? Have you done it deliberately or is it an accident?
Because that's
how I view you. Like, if it's an accident, and like say this might have happened to someone once.
Yeah.
That somebody maybe was in a shared house.
Yeah.
And was in the shower, and perhaps somebody was waiting to come in the shower, and maybe the person in the shower. Had come out of the shower and knew that they needed to break wind,
yes.
but was embarrassed about the potential volume of breaking of the wind,
yeah.
and parted a cheek to allow just the escape of gas, yeah. And maybe something else came out.
Yeah.
But the person is still waiting to come in, and
yeah, you've got to deal with that.
Yeah, you've got to deal with that.
Down the shower, that's where it goes. Stamp it down. Stamp it down.
It wasn't in the shower, Richard.
Okay.
Hypothetically.
Okay. Kick it to the shower.
It was viscous.
Yes. Okay. Toilet paper?
Yeah, it was
A lot of toilet paper. Yeah. That's what I imagine happens when you go to a toilet, it's full of toilet paper in a public toilet.
That's what's happened?
No. It's the only possible explanation. Anyway, no, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I've never done it.
Neither have I.
No. Have you ever flown a kite?
Yes.
How was it?
It was brilliant.
I bet in Jersey.
Yeah,
great.
Jersey, St. Clement's Beach, next to the lighthouse, yeah. And it had a parachutist kind of man. I really remember it, and it snapped once, and I tied the thread together again, okay. And did it, and then it broke. And,
had a man or a literal?
No, not a man, like a picture of a man.
Oh, okay.
That would be quite a Jersey tradition. you all dance around the maypole, and if you man who trips over, you tie him to a cross, and you put him up in the wind, and a big storm, and you leave him up there until they beg.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Okay. Nice, isn't it, flying kites?
Yeah.
I imagine it is.
Yeah, but I never did stunt kiting or anything. You know,
no.
That looks beyond me, but...
No.
Yeah. But I could get... Yeah. I'm looking forward to doing it with my kids. That would kind of fun. But I'll probably take over and annoy them. Okay, no, it's my turn now.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing about being. I quite like. I wish I'd had kids earlier because I always like playing.
Yeah.
And it's just like you get an excuse to play with all the stuff, don't you?
Yeah. Lego.
But even like the really simple stuff. My daughter's just got a tea set, which I find weird, like a little plastic tea set. She loves it.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
But most of her life is drinking liquid out of plastic cups.
So
why would you? That's her job, essentially.
Yeah.
So why would
you? Why is that your leisure activity?
Why would you go? Hey, we're going to relax now and pretend to drink. So there's not even anything. Let's pretend. Mm, and she loves it. And goes, glick, 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 glick. I don't know how she just worked. Glick, glick, glick.
Yeah.
Loves it, idiot. That's the least favourite thing I have to when I play with her. But I like all the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's cool. I just like building
towers.
Don't build enough towers.
Yeah, it's quite relaxing, isn't it?
It is. I'd like there should be some really big adult bricks that you can. I mean, I suppose you could just become a
bricks. Just become a builder. Yes. If only there was.
But I want to do it.
But you do it, just knock it down. Yeah, I don't want to build a stroke terrorist.
I don't want to put the stuff in between. I just want to put
just
the bricks.
But that would be quite dangerous if you're doing that because if it falls, it's not like when you do it with just cardboard boxes or foam bricks. The bricks will hurt. So, but you can get foam bricks, like I'm sure you know, magic shops. So maybe foam bricks, but then you'd probably have the weight because you wouldn't get the height. I mean, is it height you're going for?
Yeah. And probably. But,
if you had bricks, can I check, would you just build like a single column or would you kind of do sort of two and then two so you can actually build a solid
mainly
structure?
I'd mainly do a single column, but I might at the bottom put like a base of three or four together.
Yeah. And you need a ladder.
Yeah.
But you've got that for your bean silo. Yeah. Sorted.
Good. Well, we'll try that. So we should market that as a. Take that to Dragon's Den. Adult. Adult.
The bean bricks. Silo and adult bricks. No, you're not understanding. You're not understanding, Peter. It's for adults to build. It's not like a builder. No.
If you could jump.
I'm saying people pay to do it. You know,
if you could jump into a pool of something, what would be in the pool? You can choose what's in it. It doesn't have to be water. It can be water. But if you have you ever dreamt of jumping into a pool or something that isn't water?
No. But
blame lifehacks.io for that one. That is not my question.
What like champagne?
Well, a lot of champagne.
Blood.
Marshmallow. Blood. Yes, well, you come with a lot of good suggestions for someone who was confused by the idea. A minute ago.
Or a anything. Doesn't, you know, doesn't Blade sleep in blood?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Broken like glass. It could be a pool of broken glass.
Why would that? No.
Well, you might want to do that.
Might want attention. Yeah.
Could be baked beans. That'd be a place to keep. What if you went to a millionaire's house and he had a pool and it was full of baked beans?
Yeah.
And he said, you can swim in there. That's also dinner, so
don't wee in the bath in the pool.
Don't shit if
we're
going
to eat those.
You've got diarrhoea, don't fart in there.
We're going to eat all of them. That's
that'd be nice, and that's like a year's supply in the swimming pool. It'd be worse when you got to the end of the year and you know. Good. We're ticking off a lot of the answers into these questions. What is the best museum you've ever been to? Are there any good museums in Jersey?
The Living Legend. It's great because they've got like kind of sculpture 3D heads, and then they project faces on them.
Okay,
and so it looks like they're actually there. So you have Brian Blessed pretending to be like, "I am Helio, ghost of these islands." They've got a whole kind of animatronics.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, so it's a proper kind of, you know, from the dawn of time, and you get sort of volcanoes and stuff in there, and then but 1939, Zeke Kyle, storms of war.
The best bit of Jersey history when we were happiest under the nuts. Oh, if only we could go back to this. 1945.
Fuck off. You're 10 months late, piss off.
Do you think Jersey would be different
if they hadn't been invaded by Nazis? Yes.
What do you think if Jersey? Why don't I write this as a book? Jersey is the only place that the Nazis stay in after World War II, and they can't get them out of Jersey. And Adolf Hitler...
That's a good, like, a counter-history.
Just no one can get them out of there because of the good sea fortifications.
Yeah.
And then they go... What are we bothering for? It's only Jersey.
Well, they did, because the D-Day landings were kind of June 6th, 1944. They didn't liberate Jersey till May the 9th, 1945. They went right through Europe, and then, like, we'll deal with that later. Yeah, that's fine. Fuck them. They gave up, whatever the thinking was. It wasn't a strategic priority.
No. It was nice for the Nazis who were there, I bet.
Yeah, it's better than being on the Russian front. Yeah, lovely. I mean, that's a pretty cushy posting, Jersey. Yeah. I don't know. Not sure how that would sound, like, out of context written down in a Wikipedia entry. You want to avoid that in the kind of content, Nazi controversy.
Is sex with a ghost cheating?
It's impossible. I'm not even going to say because ghosts don't exist, but how would you penetrate what is vapour? Or not vapour, but is spectral. It could be a water ghost, mist ghost.
Fashioned a... human shape out of polythene. Like, see, someone's more shocked by this than
the Nazi.
Well,
you may as well just wank on a ghost. Okay, if you're going to say you do the sheath and then you
just make a person, but it's like a big, like,
but it's not.
And then the ghost's inside. And
looking out. I thought you meant like a pouch, like a
no.
No. Oh yeah, sorry.
Like, let the goat build a human shaped polythene
and put them in
being.
It. Like
say again,
like the guy in Hellboy who's made of gas.
Maybe, I don't know. And they get in, and then you can look at their face through the polythene. And
but have they got a face, or is it just like
a spectral face?
Is it a sheep ghost with just eyes, or is it like a
proper ghost? Okay, it's not like a child with a sheep.
Not a child ghost.
Real ghosts don't have sheets over them. I mean, only ones of children who died when they were pretending to be ghosts. But then that is not a sheet, it's the spectral.
I don't want to have sex with a kid under a sheet. That's what I want to stress, okay? I'm saying, are we talking fictional ghosts? Like, are we talking like nearly headless?
No, we're talking real ghosts.
But there are real ghosts.
We're talking about these fictional ghosts.
My sexiest fictional ghost.
It could be, whoever, Nell Gwynn.
Is she a ghost?
Presumably.
Because everyone's a ghost, eventually.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you get her wrapped in... And
cling film.
Yeah, cling film will do.
Yeah.
Just anything solid.
Is she enjoying this, or are we hearing a kind of high-pitched scream of, let me out of this policy?
It's okay, because they're a ghost. It's the same.
They have feelings, don't they?
Well, it doesn't matter to them what... they live in a different... Three-dimensional objects don't matter. So it'd be hard to keep them in. They'd have to want to stay
When you're saying it's hard to keep them in, just the whole idea of consent just seems to be out the window here. So then they're talking about sexually assaulting a ghost.
It's absolutely
which is
consent.
I'm not into that.
The minute they didn't want to do it, they could drift out, couldn't they? So it's absolutely
But you're talking
consent.
About trapping them in polythene.
No, trapping them. It'd be hard to keep them in because they pass through all objects. So they'd have to really make an effort to say, right, the most consent you could ever get. If you could only do this with women as well,
right.
Then it would be, there would never be...
Yeah, edit point.
They'd have to
stay
inside.
So you're saying that when they're escaping, it's like they can't help it. So if they really want to have sex, so it's almost like a kind of like a fairy tale, a kind of adult fairy tale of like Little Mermaid. Or something. So the ghost, you fall in love with the ghost. The ghost is in love with you, but you can't have sex unless they get in this plastic thing that they evaporate from. So you have to have sex really quickly. Not a problem for me. and then you have to do it quickly and consensually before to consummate your love for the ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay. How'd your wife feel about you having sex with a ghost inside a plastic? Would she consider that a cheating? You cheating, or would she be happy with that?
I'd like to take everything I said back.
Okay.
She would definitely consider it. But maybe she's the ghost. Maybe it'd be romantic.
And that's nice if she's dead. Yeah, that would be nice.
Well, no. I mean, obviously, it's not nice if I've murdered her. That's wrong.
I didn't say that.
I didn't think it. I don't know why you. I don't know why you even bring that up. But we're old. Say we both. She died of old age, and then I'm. Don't put this out. I love my kids. I don't take my kids away.
Oh, good. I'm trying to work out.
You know when you read a transcript of Trump.
Yeah.
That is.
Could you ever have sex with someone who called breasts boobies?
No, not Keith Lemon, definitely not.
Why is it wrong?
What, is it to make you laugh? Or you
think, I just don't think it's sexy.
Are you thinking from the 50s? You don't think it's...
Boobies, it's just like, put me off. A, it would put me off them as a person if we were just in a conversation and they said, ooh, what do you think about boobies?
Why would they say that? Oh, well, yeah.
You know, just like they were talking, saying, oh, they were, hi, call breast boobies. I'd go, okay,
that's
I'm
it,
going
you're out. Yeah. But what if it was that woman who plays the robot on Humans or one of your other massive... Andrea Corr.
Andrea Corr, yes.
Yeah.
If she called breast boobies...
Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine an Irish accent... Bobby.
Sound like Dobby.
Bobby. Oh, bagarre, boobies. Yeah, no, that would put
then
me
she's
off.
Out.
Yeah, it's okay. Worse than an Irish accent.
Now she knows, so when you meet her, she won't say that.
I hope she doesn't. What's coming up next in your world? Are you doing more? Is there more Veeps?
Yeah, it's more Veep season 6, so I'll be doing kind of punch-ups on the script from here, hopefully, and then... got an ongoing film with Armando that's, you know, it's been ongoing for years. He's got about 5 films on the go. So, don't know about that. And they've got a sitcom in with Channel 4 and a spy thriller in with the BBC and other dramas and things. So lots of stuff like that.
I wish Armando was back here because I'd suggest that ghost polythene thing as a film idea to him. Could you will you suggest that when you go into him? Maybe just play that bit.
I'd rather pitch it to the dragons, to be honest. It's a thing that means you can fuck ghosts. I'm looking for £1 million in return for 1% of my business. Fuck you.
Yeah, I think they might go for it. I want to talk to you about Nevermind the Full Stops. Do you remember being on Nevermind?
Fucking hell.
I was on Nevermind the Full Stops. I'm quite obsessed with it. With Julian Fellowes.
Julian Fellowes, a dictionary quiz.
It was fucking awful.
What channel was it on?
I think it was on the Julian Fellowes Grammar Channel.
It was that era. Are they still doing that now? I'm not really in the loop with panel shows at all. They're still doing that, you know, Have I Got News About Everything, which is...
Not so much, I think, now. Yeah, it's not...
They've exhausted the whole...
Yeah, it was a thing about a very hard quiz about punctuation.
Yeah, I remember I got a dictionary as... payment.
Did you?
And some money, but you got
oh, I think I did get a dictionary, yeah.
Yeah.
I've forgotten about that.
And I do remember telling Armando I was doing it being at a Thicker It rehearsal, saying I had it that afternoon or the next day, and him just looking at me going, what are you doing that for? Thinking, I don't know. Because it's kind of like, oh, your profile and all that.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean...
There was no profile.
There's no profile.
Did anyone see Nevermind the Full Stops? Cheer.
Yay!
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It worked. So and they're here tonight.
Did you ever learn anything about grammar from the show?
No.
No. It was really difficult. I'm quite good at punctuation and grammar and stuff, and I found it impossibly difficult to the extent that Julian Fellowes was so smug that during the retakes I told him to fuck off.
Oh, right.
He said, you should know that. And I went, oh, fuck off. And everyone in the audience, there's like a tiny little audience there, they really went, ah!
And how did he react?
He just pretended it hadn't happened.
And was that your last appearance?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I know it was only on once. It was worth it. I never got a part in Downton Abbey as a result of that. He wrote Downton Abbey.
Yeah. That'll be there as an audio. Somebody can leak that eventually. If you're ever running for office, that'll knock you out.
Yeah.
Maybe propel you.
Fuck off, the Downton Abbey guy to fuck off.
Fuck off,
That would be it. Yeah. In America, that's me screwed.
Well, they love it over there.
They do love it. They do love it. Cool. Let's just check. I might just want to check that my new emergency question. Have you ever killed someone but never spoken about it?
Matthew Crosby's wife.
And Windsor Davis. The same, so that neither of them would outlive the other.
I did the double for you. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about CJ from Eggheads? Did you see this story?
Didn't he write in his autobiography, I pushed a man in a canal, he probably died.
Yeah.
And then he's surprised when... that is illegal.
It took a long time, though. His book was out for a while. I talked about it quite a bit before.
What you were talking about before?
Yeah, I talked about it.
So you read it?
The story came up that he kicked a man into a canal.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's a bit queer. Telling people about that. It's a bit of a weird
thing. I think his editor might have said, are you sure you want
to... Well, that's what someone said the other week. It's just like it's quite unusual for an editor to go... You come out of that quite badly.
Yeah. Mate, he must have really pissed his editor off. Or his editor was so pissed off with him, he just put it in and didn't tell him. Fuck him, let's see who deals with this.
I don't know what's happened. Is there any updates? There's so much news has happened that CJ has gone under the radar again, and the police will have forgotten about it in another year. They'll go, remember we arrested him.
Who confessed in print.
Confessed the murder. Is there any situation in which a pussy should be grabbed?
No.
Whatever pussy cat.
Running across the road, then that's not what he was talking about. It's the way he said it as well was such a non sequitur almost. It was just like, what the fuck? And then, oh, Jesus. Anyway, it's not that I'm saying anything that everyone isn't really saying.
No, it's a tricky one to talk about. But, you know.
No, it's not. He's a fucking idiot and a maniac and repulsive and et cetera.
Might be president of the United States of America.
No, he won't. What's going to be great is seeing how he deals, because he is going to lose crushingly, and how he transfers that into some kind of victory, or how he feels he was robbed from him. Because
do you think he might foment revolution and get all his lunatics to rise up with the guns they all have?
Have a breakdown? No. Because a lot of them I think a lot of supporters, certainly I know in polls and stuff, it might be just they're voting Republican because that's what they vote. It's such a polarised, you know, kind of system. They just don't vote anything else. I mean, if he was running as an independent, he wouldn't be getting anything.
No.
But how wouldn't be getting enough for it to be a threat.
But how does the news and the real world being so insane affect you writing Veep?
I think they're probably just thinking it'll be over by the time we go out, and it'll just be, you know, we won't have to react to it, and we'll just have a normal, stable president.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they're not planning, not addressing it. And
but it's sort of weird, though, isn't it, in the way that it affects satire by you not being able to, even if he doesn't win, and the situation's still not so crazy.
It's unbelievable, that's
yeah.
why. It's
well, yeah, so nothing, yeah. you can't make, if you made this up, people
you couldn't
say,
make him up, no.
No, people say this is insane. But my feeling is that if it doesn't happen now, it'll happen at some point, won't it?
What, some mad
some
person?
Some nutter who will get the popular, I mean, it's happened once before, quite famously. Remember what happened
in Jersey.
All part of it. People in Jersey,
they voted for him,
crossed.
Didn't they? Yeah.
I hope Trump gets in.
But don't you feel that gradually things are getting more progressive and people
no,
are more
tolerant? No, I don't.
No, look at the vote. I know, but that's all old people. They'll all be gone, and then you think.
But do you think the old people will be gone and things will change, or do you think we'll all just turn into old people who are cunts?
No, because we don't. No, because we don't have those attitudes now, and I just don't, I can't imagine. No.
So do you think we'll go back into Europe in 20 years' time when all the old people who voted for Europe... You think we'll go
I think it'll all... I think it's going to be just horrendous for the next 5-10 years, and then. But I think it will...
Do you think we'll go out? Do you think we'll leave Europe?
I think looks like we are, but I hope they... Did they force the vote today or not? They were talking about...
I don't know.
Or whatever day we're supposed to be recording this.
But the people in the future will know what's happened already.
But I don't see how they're looking like they can't avoid it. Even the people who hate it are sort of saying, well, we have to, respect the British people have spoken. Not really. They didn't. In a confused way.
Well, that's what I say. All these people who come back and say,
people want. You go, no, that's what 17 million
said, we vote for it's got to happen. I said, right, well, if that's it, then it should happen now. We should leave now. We vote to leave. Let's leave. Let's leave today. Because that's they're saying, no, we vote for this, but we haven't. You've got to make some arrangements.
It's not enough.
So either we voted for it and we go today, or we haven't voted for it.
And then we
make some arrangements and decide what we're going to do. So it's either the vote's yes or no, and yes, and we're gone.
Yeah.
And we have no time to rearrange trade duties, and we all die because we have no money.
Yeah, we can't
And then we can go, maybe wasn't that a good idea to leave Europe? Maybe we should go back.
So you think it won't happen because it hasn't already happened?
No, I think it will happen. I think it should. We should happen.
What?
I think it should happen because of democracy, but I also think...
It's not enough, though. It's like if you had 100 people in the room and 52 people said, we all want to wee on the floor, and the other 48 guys go, oh, yeah, fair enough, there's four more of you. It's just bullshit.
It is, but I think, they have to go towards it, but I also think the Parliament has to be able to say, hold on. I mean, what is it? And if it's going to really fuck us up, maybe we shouldn't do it.
And also, Liam Fox just looks like... Yet he won a stint as a government minister in a charity auction. It doesn't look like a credible... It looks like, I'm having a laugh, it's quite fun, and I'm sure I'll get the hang of it, but, it's just useless.
Yeah, it's only our lives.
And our lives of our children.
Well, they're saying everything's going to go up by 15%, apart from New Zealand lamb, which will be cheaper.
Yeah.
So I think...
What about beans?
Don't know what happened with beans, but if we buy all the New Zealand lamb... and then dig a tunnel in another tunnel to Europe.
Yeah.
And then we get cheap New Zealand lamb, and then we can take it over to the continent and sell it and make a profit
on the black market, and then buy their stuff back.
Well, just have the money we've made from all the lamb. It's a good idea, except people said that no one eats lamb on the continent.
Right.
Apart from that, it's a really good
idea. It's watertight. Yeah.
Apart from the fact that we'd have to pay duty and stuff on the lamb to sell it to Europe, I think it's a good idea.
I just think things were kind of fine. Why did fucking hell? Anyway, yeah. I know what you think.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, it's interesting, but I always lose everything that I ever do.
That's the spirit.
I think Sadiq Khan, I voted for him and he won. That was an unusual occurrence. So I quite like, but you're in quite a safe position when you lose, because you can go, we've lost. Okay.
Yeah.
Go on then.
It would have been fine if you did
it
my way.
Sit back and then I can laugh and then go, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
But if we'd won, things would have gone wrong in a different way. And
they definitely wouldn't have accepted it if it was the other, if it was, you know, 52-48 the other way. It's not like they'd have gone, okay, that's settled forever. you're right. That's a massive majority. But I just think it would have gone away. I just don't think it could have come back as an issue, because I don't think anyone would have been stupid enough to do another referendum.
No. But they won't do another referendum for 20 years or something.
No.
Oh, well, we sorted that out.
Yeah.
And that's all good.
That's a sideways look at the news.
Have you ever tried sushi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not an unusual question. What? Oh, sorry, is there a follow-up? Sorry.
No, that's it. That's the question. That's just I'm just that. Interested to know. Me and MarshallJonesJr.com would like to know the answer to that question. And
I like sushi, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's been, apart from we never found out, would we ever find out what you'd jump into a pool of? I think we dodged that question.
Feathers?
Okay, cool.
That might be interesting.
I think you might hit the bottom.
No.
I don't think they'd...
Well, you'd sort of compact them. No, if you not like so they're all sort of floating, you compact them so it's...
So it's like rock hard. That would kill you.
Solid feathers. Yeah, encase them in cement. Yeah.
I think if you packed down feathers and jumped onto a diving board onto them... That would you'd just splat on them,
yeah,
because they'd be solid.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be getting any.
You could make bricks out of feathers. We might have got make bricks out of feathers for adults to build
feather bricks
to build feathers.
Copywritten feather bricks. Hello, I present feather bricks. No, I'm out.
Okay. I think we might have exhausted the patience of our audience, which is usually a sign for me to do another half an hour as a punishment to you for not understanding how good we are at doing this. yeah, couldn't it? It was all right, wasn't it? It was all right. Has anything you've written ever come true?
There's probably some stuff in Time Trumpet that's... Yeah. I don't think David Beckham ever got a vagina sewn into his arm. But you don't know. Yeah.
And, well, it might come true. There are lots of things in The Thick of It happened, though, didn't they? That was famous for it. Like the something when you'd write something ridiculous and then...
And then the last series, last series of Veep, they had a whole thing about her mispronouncing Nevada and getting it right. And then Trump just did that by saying, no, this is how you pronounce it, and getting it wrong.
Right.
Like a tool. It's weird things like that. But Thick of It was, at one point, I think that's part of the reason I didn't want to do it anymore, because everyone was just like, it's everything felt like The Thick of It. So it was just, you couldn't...
Well, it's true.
Mm.
You've ruined everything. I think we found the cause of all of this. It's been lovely to talk to you. Your book, The Mainlander.
Mainlander
is available.
Literary thriller.
In a shop.
And online. Kindle, yes.
Yeah. Good. And you're doing more Veep.
More Veep. More...
And maybe a secret film.
The Armando film will be years away, I would think.
Okay.
But I've got other kind of film scripts and drama scripts on the board.
And we'll do one more. Well, who wants to do a Six Degrees of
God.
Bergerac?
Fargo,
that's got to be.
I'm trying to think of an interesting way to do it. it's going to be Buscemi. See, now I'm on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm actually panicking now. I know I can do it. It's easy. Buscemi. Steve Buscemi is in Fargo. He's in Con Air with Nicolas Cage, who is in The Rock with Sean Connery, who is in Raiders of the Lost Ark, With Harrison Ford, who is in Star Wars, with William Hootkins, who is in Episode 13. Clap hands, here comes Charlie.
Hey! Ladies and gentlemen, Will Smith. That one. Thank you very much. You are with me, Richard Derrick, and my guest Will Smith. Not that one. That's Pest playing. They are the Pest, and there isn't another Pest. Thanks very much to British Comedy Guide, Go Past the Stripe, and the Square Theatre. Thank you to George, the soundman, who recorded this. Thank you to Ben Walker, who should be recording this, but he's too busy with his proper work, where they pay him money to do stuff. Ooh la dee da. He's the producer of the show, though. He's very good. And thank you. This is a Fuzz, Go Fast a Stripe, and Sky Potato production. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, why not come and see me on tour? Richard Herring, the best. Go to richherring.com/gigs, and you can find out if I'm coming near to you. And book ahead, because, hey, you never know. It might sell out. It won't. It might. Why? It won't. And you can come and see this. Go to lessquaretheatre.com and see if there are tickets for future ones of these as well. Why not? Could be fun. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.